We are in the 26th chapter of the book of Genesis. This is about what man? Isaac.
Now there was a famine in the land, besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and will give to your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So Yitzhak settled in Gerar. When the men of the place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." For he feared to say, "My wife," thinking, "Lest the men of this place should kill me because of Rebekah, because she was attractive in appearance." When he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of a window and saw Yitzhak laughing with Rivkah, his wife. So Abimelech called Yitzhak and said, "Behold, she is your wife. How then could you say, 'She is my sister'?" Yitzhak said to him, "Because I thought, lest I die because of her." Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the people might have easily lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us." So Abimelech warned all the people, saying, "Whoever touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." And Yitzhak sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him, and the man became rich, and gained more and more until he became very wealthy. He had possessions of flocks and herds and many servants, so that the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped and filled with earth all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father. And Abimelech said to Yitzhak, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." So Yitzhak departed from there and encamped at the valley of Gerar and settled there. And Yitzhak dug again the wells of water that had been dug in the days of Abraham his father, which the Philistines had stopped after the death of Abraham. And he gave them the names that his father had given them. But when Yitzhak's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of spring water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Yitzhak's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, because they contended with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that also. So he called its name Sitnah. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, saying, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." From there he went up to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him in the same night and said, "I am the God of Abraham your father. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you and multiply your offspring for my servant Abraham's sake." So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Yitzhak's servants dug a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar with Ahuzat his advisor and Phicol the commander of his army. Yitzhak said to them, "Why have you come to me, seeing that you hate me and have sent me away from you?" They said, "We see plainly that the Lord has been with you." So we said, "Let there be a sworn pact between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you, that you will not do us harm, just as we have not touched you and have done to you nothing but good and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord. So he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. In the morning they rose early and exchanged oaths, and Yitzhak sent them on their way, and they departed from him in peace. That same day Yitzhak's servants came and told him about the well that they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." He called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. When Esau was 40 years old, he took Yudit, his daughter, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, to be his wife, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and they made life bitter for Yitzhak and Rivka.
Any thoughts?
So it looks like Esau was living nearby all that time.
Oh, yeah.
With Isaac.
Sure, sure.
How's Rebecca?
How's what?
How's Rebecca gonna, unless she's raped, they say one of my men might have lain with her.
Right.
She's not gonna let that happen.
Well, that's a very interesting statement. We'll get to that. And we'll ask, because it's one of those things, odd thing. It's not quite in the very same way. Next question, Ellie.
I think it's interesting that on the first two times when the locals didn't want him to put, wanted his well, he didn't cry out to God and say, "God, that's my well, make them go away." He picked up his stuff and left. And then finally, when he got a place where they didn't run him off, he said, "God has made a place for us." Now, he was willing
thing,
to yield.
A certain thing God said to him first. We'll get to there. Any other questions? Now, it says, there was a famine in the land. This is the second famine recorded, quote, in history. We think it's a very common thing to take place. That's just the way nature is. No, God is not nature. God is God. God is one that controls everything, including the weather. So a famine comes on, like it did during the time of Abraham. He brought it on deliberately in order that Abraham would move down to Egypt in order certain things would occur, and of course they did. So now there's a famine in the land where he was at. You remember the previous chapters? Where was he at? Remember the well that was called the Well of Living One? That's where Hagar and Ishmael were living. Remember, Isaac and Ishmael buried their father together. They weren't at war with one another. They weren't going to war with one another. There's no striving whatsoever you'll find in the Bible, where the man Isaac and the man Ishmael were ever at war. Now, Ishmael might have been upset, of course, with his dad, Abraham, and his wife. But that, we don't have that complete information. All we know is that God did hear the lad and said, "I will take care of him." And he did. Now this is the next thing. The verse 2. Oh, but you know, it's just funny. It says in the first famine, in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went into Amalek, king of the Philistines. Very same place where Abraham was before. And Abraham left, but now Isaac's going back that way because of a drought. Now, if you remember, God is the one that is in control of Isaac's life. And he will run Isaac's life the way he wishes to run Isaac's life. Because what did he promise Abraham about Isaac? The children, some group of people will be called the sons of Isaac. Others would not be. Through Abraham was told that your offspring will come through Isaac. He told him that before Abraham was going to kill him. And we have Hebrews says, and Abraham knew that God raised him up from the dead. Prophetically speaking, it's what it refers, but he actually wasn't killed. A substitute took his place. And of course that substitute was the ram, right? which is the picture of the one who really did. And really was killed. His head was in the thicket. He couldn't get out of it. Anyway, he goes down here and he says now, he appeared unto Isaac like he had appeared unto his father, Abraham. So he made himself physically able to be seen. Go not down into Egypt. Okay, rule number one, right? Dwell in the land which I will tell you of. Sojourn in this land. Now, what land was he there? He went to the land near the Philistines. Land of the Philistines. And he says, I want you to dwell there. And by the way, while you're there, I will bless you. For unto you and your seed, I will give all these countries, all this land, all this territory. And he said almost the very same thing to Abraham, but Abraham didn't go down that area. Now it's turned over, and God says to Isaac, this is going to be your land and your children's land. That land today is the Gaza Strip. You want to know what that is? And he says, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. I went through great detail what that meant in Hebrew during the time when God brought Abraham out to see the stars above. It wasn't the stars of, he had a lot of kids. Abraham had the kids with another woman, a lot of them named off, right? Those are not the ones that he was referring to. Referring to the ones that are going to be called after the name of Isaac, or called through the son named Isaac. And I'll be a seed, and will give unto thy seed all of these countries, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed from that seed. Same answer, same thing he promised unto Abraham. Remember, the scripture talks about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Doesn't talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Ephraim, Manasseh. Doesn't. It just stops those three. Because those are three that he worked with in order that we'd have a picture of what's going on. We get in the book of Jacob, which is a very, very long study. Admit, bear with me on that one. But he said, verse 5, I find this very, oh, by the way, I have to make a correction. I made an error some time ago, and this is my correction here today, okay? Because Abraham obeyed my voice, by the way, obeyed means, what word is there, should that be in Hebrew? Shema. What does Shema mean? Hear and respond, or hear and technically do. Now, 1611, I've told you this before, when the Bible was written in English, they used the word obeyed because in 1611 it meant the very same meaning. It says, hearken unto and respond. That's the word obedience meant back in 1611. Anyway, put that aside. He has hearkened unto my voice. He's kept my charge. Now, what's a charge? Guard, right? He kept watch. What does that mean, kept watch? I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch. Is that what it means? Watch what? He heard my voice and kept watch that he would be doing what the voice told him to do. In fact, he was examining himself, making sure. Apostle Paul tells we must examine ourselves, right? And see whether or not we walk within the Lord. Well, you better go back and listen to the Lord and find out what he said. Then you're thinking, okay, am I walking? Am I responding? The next one is commandments. Now, what's commandment? One's a charge. First we call it a charge. Next we call it a commandment. What's commandment? Do what? No. He didn't have the Ten Commandments. Abraham didn't need the Ten Commandments. It wasn't given to Abraham. It wasn't given to Isaac. Who's it given to? The children of Israel at Moses' time. So don't get that in your mind. It's not the same thing in any way, shape, or form. Can anybody give me an example of a command? An order, okay. When you are given a court order to appear in the court, that is a command. So once you appeared yourself in the court, you have fulfilled the command. The command will not go on forever and ever and ever. It ends once you have fulfilled the command. If you're in the military, and the lieutenant, if you're in war, and the lieutenant gives you a command to flank left or right, and you do, you flank left, you obeyed a command. You obeyed his order. That's basically what that simple word means. Even the Ten Commandments is the same word, meaning respond and do. Take control. Hearken unto and do. Now, the next one is statutes. Do you notice these things? Charges, commandments, and statutes. Now, what are statutes? We have statutes in our county, right? We have statutes in our city, right? What is a statute?
Decree.
A what?
Decree.
A decree. Okay. A rule. I'm sorry, what?
Set of standards.
Set of standards. Okay.
Detailed instructions.
Detailed instructions. Okay. Give me an example of modern day detailed instruction. Statutes are also associated with, you know, like, you have to have a leash on your dog when you walk the dog. Alright? That is a statute. What happens when you break it? You get fined. You gotta pay a bill. You don't go to jail unless you don't pay the statute. That's something different. Alright? And now the last one says, by law. Here's where I have to correct myself. It is the word Torah. I thought it didn't show up in Genesis, and there it is, plain as day. What is Torah? Is the Torah the same that happened at Mount Sinai? No. What Torah did Abraham, should we say, observe?
Trust.
What?
Trust.
Trust, okay. God made a covenant with Abraham, and Abraham agreed to the covenant. What was that covenant? You got it. Circumcision. That was the commandment, or I'm sorry, that was a Torah. Now, what does Torah really mean? Teaching. A teaching. So Abraham kept the teachings. Now, there is a teaching in the circumcision, which most people don't understand. They think it's associated with Moses, and not according to Apostle Paul, not even according to Genesis, it didn't associate with Moses at all. It was long before Moses. Associated with Abraham. What was the purpose of circumcision, remember? Set apart. Is that what?
Well, there was also health reasons, too.
No, no health reason. No health reason, yes?
A sign.
A sign, okay.
Well, the sign, definitely a sign that the promise of the seed was not going to come by the natural means, that this was going to be a miraculous miracle. That's why it was in that particular place.
It is a mark of a promise. It is a mark of a promise. Now, we understand later on in the Torah, especially in the book of Genesis, Deuteronomy, he says, I want circumcision of the heart. Now, so this should be a picture. Did Abraham understand that? Oh, for sure he did. Did Isaac understand that? God says he's my son. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he kept it going. He kept the teaching. He kept the commandment going. He kept everything going in his personal life, Abraham did. And lo and behold, God turned around and tells Isaac, by the way, the same thing applies to you. If you do what I have, as your father did, who heard my voice, who kept watch of what he was doing to making sure it agreed with my voice, and he kept my orders, he fulfilled what I wanted him to do, and he kept my statutes, he kept the what we call limitations. A statute, by the way, is a limitation. Something limits you from doing something. You know, if you park in front of a fire hydrant, that's there for a limitation, right? The limit, you can't park there, that's a statute. And so it limits you from parking your car anywhere you want. You have to be careful where you park your car, right? And then, of course, keeping the teachings going. Because God said about Abraham, I know, remember during the time of Sodom and Gomorrah? What did God say about Abraham? I must tell him what I'm doing. Why? Do you remember? Sorry, what?
Friends.
I know that Abraham will teach and keep these things into his life and his generation's life and to those who are after him when he is dead. That's very important, isn't it? The reason why any of you, my personal opinion, are here today is because you believe Abraham did exactly what God wanted him to do and you want to be, in a sense, associated with, linked with, united with, or in a sense, be the child of Abraham. Because that's what the scripture says, right? If you believe, trust me, trust God, accept me, you're like Abraham. You become the son of Abraham. Those stars above represents the people that have heard and responded to God by believing God as Abraham believed God. That's not too hard to understand, is it? The next section is kind of funny, isn't it? He was something there about his wife. What does it say about his wife?
He didn't want to get killed. He was just like his father.
What did she look like?
She was beautiful.
Very beautiful and a gorgeous female. Does that not relate the same thing with Sarah?
Yes.
At 65 years old? All right. Gorgeous woman. She didn't bear old age in her face. She always had a youthful look, a young look, a healthy young look, not a sick old lady barely making it up the stairs. She was very healthy. All right. Rebecca, same thing. Now, Rebecca's old at this particular point in time. She's getting old because already Isaac and Esau are born. And so here is, that frightened somebody, Isaac. You know, it sounds familiar, right? Of course, he heard what his father had did. You know, he wasn't alive when his father did that. He took in the land of Egypt. But he's not in the land of Egypt. He's in the land of the Philistines now. And guess what? He was afraid for his life. When Abraham was afraid for his life and said, she is my sister, we all assume real quickly, because that's what we do, right, that he kind of was looking out for himself, right? Did God punish Abraham for doing that? No. What did God do? He blessed him abundantly with an awful lot of more cattle, awful lot of more goats, awful lot more sheep, and more servants. And his wife even got maid servants, including Hagar. All right. Now, let's take a look at this thing with Isaac. We may have an opinion about Isaac. A coward, scared, doesn't have enough, didn't have the nerve like his dad did. Well, his dad blew it. But as the time now, I mean, Isaac's almost 100 years old here. And he's at this point where he starts, okay, that's it. Now, because it says verse 6, he had been there for a long time. Been there for a long time. That king, remember the same king, Abimelech? The same king that was during the time of Abraham. And that king during the time of Abraham was not a 155-year-old man. He was still a young man, but he was king. By the way, what does Abimelech mean? Father king. That's all it means. Father king. Now this time, he did something. And he saw something, what took place? He says, verse 10, and Abimelech said, what is this thing you have done unto us? Now, basically, what happened to Abimelech and the Philistines during his life? Would the same thing occur that occurred in Egypt with Abraham? No. Nothing there. We can assume, we can think, we can wish, we assume the story is the same, or maybe just James back and forth. No, Abraham was in Egypt when this occurred, and Isaac is in Philistines when this occurred. And then, of course, he says, one of the people might have lain with your wife, and you would have put, Isaac, you would have put blame upon us. Why would you think he thought that? He had the knowledge of God. We'll talk about him a little later. The king of Pharaoh of Egypt, the curse came upon him, even though he didn't know. Right? Even though he didn't know. It's kind of an odd way of looking how God works, isn't it? God's got to be unfair here, right? Or he's telling us something. He's telling us something. Why would he do this? I'm sorry, what?
I was showing that he's God. He's demonstrating
his... He made a promise to Abraham. All right. Now, as a human being, we can overlook what God wants us to do. But he made a promise that from your loins and Sarah, the son will come. A seed will come. And before that happened, guess what God did? He cursed anybody who was going to touch Sarah. All right. And that's a very dangerous thing to touch. Anything that God says is mine. And he claimed Sarah was his, right? Remember, he changed her name. By the way, it comes from a feminine word. Oh, actually, it comes from a masculine word. It means sar, or one who's a ruler. So she was actually, would be called a female ruler, where Abraham was called a ruler, because they're both, one's sar, and one's sara. That's where those two words come from. Then, verse 11, I find it very funny, because you know, earlier he said, they might kill me, remember? He didn't say the king would. He said the people there in that area might kill him for his wife, for Rebecca, or Rivka. In the latter part of verse 11, I find it very interesting. Told his people, touch this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. So let's put ourselves a little bit in Isaac's shoes for a moment. when he moved into that area and the people that he lived around, he saw something very troublesome. They weren't that friendly. Philistines, you know. So the king ordered, you touch that man or his wife, you're a dead man. That's how powerful that king was. So we have God is actually, again, on the side of Isaac by bringing in this king who was not really, so he said, the nicest king, but he was a king. And he protected Rebekah and Isaac. Protected Isaac. Now, no gifts given back and forth here. Unlike during the time of Abraham, there was no blessing that came from the Egyptians. No blessings came whatsoever. Right? Just plain separation now. Make our awareness that I know who you are. Believe me, Abimelech knew who Isaac was a long time ago. Because Abimelech knew his father, Abraham. Now here, it's kind of funny that we have to look at, you know, that woman's fair to look upon. If you know, most male mind, they see a very beautiful woman, guess where their eyes go? They just do. It's like magic. Magnet, big draw, magnet. Here, go look at that one. But no, that's unusual. I mean, is that unusual or is it usual? Very common. Okay, most men don't want to admit that when the wife is sitting there next to him. Anyway. Anyway, so Abimelech said, you know, we need to make a deal here. The deal was, get out of my country. That was the deal. And so Isaac had to depart. Now, we'll find out a little bit later, as he read, there's a reason why they had that. Do I have it written here? No, not yet. That Isaac moved. He moved into a valley. A girl was on a hillside. Yes.
Question is, it looked like there was some time between that event. It looks like there was some time between that event and the time that he was told he has to go.
Yes. It didn't say how long, but it takes a while for Isaac to move that stuff because he had an awful lot of stuff. It's not like you have to get out of your house by midnight. You know. He had to get out and move his cattle, move his men-servants. Remember, back in those days, Isaac and Abraham, they had to take care of their servants. They had to provide a place for them to live, provide a place for them to have food, provide a place for them to have safety, a tent to live under. He had to come up with all that stuff. That's why God blessed him with so much stuff. And Isaac got bombarded a whole lot more from God on that one. We already read that before, but because Isaac became stronger. And Isaac sowed in that land, verse 12, and 300, and received in the same year 100-fold. Interesting number. Where have you heard that before? 100, 60, and 30. Isaac produced more than his father did. A lot more. It's got an increasing. Very fascinating. And he became very powerful. He had more men. He had more money. He had more gold. He had more silver than even his father had. He became very great. And of course, the Philistines were upset about it, especially Abimelech, who was the king. This guy's got more money than I do. This guy's got more power than I do. This guy's got a whole lot more than I do. I gotta get rid of him. So I kicked him out. But before they did something in the land. Remember, they were so envious. Envious. You know, we'll talk about this a little bit later on. all the wells. I don't remember how many wells. I didn't go back and check. I should check back to find how many wells his father made. I don't think they mentioned too very many of them, but his father's wells were very, very productive. And the Philistines did something to him. Filled him full of dirt. Now, they're no good. No good. Talk about it. Has anybody ever been envious of you? Has anybody been envious of you, what you have, where you're at, at any time in your life? You say, oh no, of course not. Let me ask you now, let's reverse it. Have you ever been envious of anybody who has things you don't have? Don't have to answer that. Just keep it to yourself. Just keep it to yourself. And what was Isaac's response here? He had greater army. He could have gone to war. His father did. Remember? Of course, his father went to war for different reasons, but he could have gone to war. And he could have just killed off all these Philistines. And then David wouldn't have to worry about him. King David wouldn't have to worry about him later on. But that's not how it worked. And so they kicked him out. And then verse 18, he moved to another place that's in the valley of Gir, near Gir. And this is number one. I put this as number one. I don't know how many wells were covered during the time that he was that his father had dug. Now Isaac has to start digging wells. Remember? Now he has to do it. And he dug another well, which they had dug on the day in the days of Abraham his father. He dug again a well that his father had dug before, for the Philistines had stopped it. And after the death of Abraham, and he called their name with the names of which his father had called them. And Isaac's servant's second well dug in the valley. All right. First they dug where his father's wells were. They covered them up. He redug them open again. Number two, he dug a valley and found there was a well and a spring water. It's very fascinating about the number of wells. All right. And we keep on going with this story. And of course, the herdsmen of the Philistines, they strived against him, against the herdsmen of Isaac's. And so Isaac decided to call the place a certain name, that well, a certain name. Esek, or Esek, which means strife. Or contention, because that's what was going on. But he didn't keep the well. He left it. In the third one, verse 21, they dug another well, and guess what? Same thing happened. And so he said, okay, opposition by strife. Strife is starting getting nastier, by the way. It's starting to have maybe physical violence taking place. And remember, Isaac was wealthier than his father. He had more men that were dedicated, loyal to him than Abraham had dedicated, loyal to him. Because all the men that were with Abraham probably would join themselves with Isaac if they were young enough or even old enough. But Isaac's almost 100 years old here, so we're talking. He got a lot more new guys. Young men for war, young men to fight, and young men to work. Dig wells, dig wells, dig wells, dig wells. And then, 22, another well. Number four. Another well. And this time, it was in a different location, and it says, the well of wide open spaces. And then, he went up to Beersheba, or Beersheba, and a guest spoke to him. Now Yahweh's coming on the scene. And he's going to come on the scene now. He's back to Bathsheba was where Abraham made a deal with Abimelech in earlier days. Remember that? And he said, I am Elohim of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with you. Now, he uses the word fear. Now, Isaac, so far, all these wells, not seeming like he was afraid. He just departed. Only thing he was commanded to do, don't leave the area. Stay there until I tell you to move. Now he moves back to Beersheba, where his father was at one time. And his father had a deal with the very same king several years earlier. And the other king was much younger. But now that king is older now. And he said, I am with you. Let me ask you, before we get any farther, have some of you been afraid of things? And you don't think God's with you?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something really strange. A guy named Joseph, he was in prison for quite a long time. The scripture says, and Yahweh was with him. What, he was in prison with him? It's a long time. Sometimes we have to endure things. This is a story of a man, of Isaac, who had to endure. Now the Messiah says, blessed are he that endures to the end. We're seeing a man, Isaac, enduring all the way to the end. Even though he's yet some years yet later, and we read this thing, he doesn't die until 180, something like that. Right now, he's at 100 years of age. We'll get to that in the chapter. So here is a story. Unlike Abraham, quote, believed God, and then all his blessings came. Now, Isaac, yeah, his life was going to be taken. Remember? You remember that? Would that make him a brave man? Or would it make him, actually, he was still under the age of 20. What? Yes, Ellie. Yeah, but it doesn't say he was arrogant at all. He was already. He had to allow himself to be bound. Okay? He didn't fight Abraham when he was bound. He just kind of, okay, this is it. I'm the one. But he also believed because he was told, in you, Isaac, the seed will be called. Not an Ishmael. So Isaac was a strong believer too. Although we don't think so, but we have to read between the lines and see those things. So in this fourth well, God came and said, you know, I'm going to multiply your seed for my servant, Abraham. I'm going to do it because of him. And what did Isaac do? He built it. You know, this is the first time it says he built an altar. Abram built a lot of altars. Abraham built altars. This is the first time now that he is building an altar. Most altars, by the way, were not altars that were made out of, you know, mortar. They're just stones on top of one another. And so in time, you know, they would not necessarily remain there. Somebody might take them to build something else with them. Because his father had built an altar there at Beersheba. And apparently, it didn't exist anymore. By the time he got here, it wasn't there. And guess what else they did, verse 25? They dug another well! Well, why is it so important in the Isaac's life that well is always there at least six times, maybe seven times? Why is a well so important?
He's got flocks and people to water. He's got to have water.
Yes?
It's got to be more than that because God doesn't put the same word over and over and over unless he's got a pattern.
Unless he's got a story to tell us. What is the object of wells? To bring forth water. Yes?
It reminds me of Isaiah 12. There's a verse that talks about drinking from the wells of salvation.
Now, this man, Isaac, has gone through an awful lot of troubles. All right? After he gets a well, it's covered. After he gets a well, it's taken from him. After he does this well, he goes up to the now, there, now he's moving to some new different place, and he got another well. And so, water. You remember Hagar? When her son was dying? What did God show her? A well of water. God let the boy come to the point of literally dying. And in a sense, quote, brought him back to life. We know that scripture, that he says, even I have one of those songs, that the glory of God is like the waters that cover the earth. And we also know in Isaiah, he says, my spirit comes down like water. Where does it go when it comes down? Physical water. It goes into the earth, doesn't it? Okay? And where it recycles and comes back. We have fresh water that's deep down under the earth. How close is God to his creation? Is he out there in outer space? He's so connected is his creation that he goes to very far extreme measures, I use that terminology, to preserve it. How did he preserve it? By the death of his son. He said, when the kingdom of God comes, I think it's in Isaiah, I may be wrong, there'll be no harm in my mountain. Yes.
Well, since in David's time and in Joseph's time, a well for each of those stories represents the grave. So in both those instances, for those two men, that's what that represented. And it's easily tied to represent a Messiah being buried. So in this case, you have, essentially, I'm using some quotes, of course, three different times the wells are mentioned to be buried. So a buried grave, one grave, two graves, three graves, and then one grave that's now open. So that would imply that you have a burial, three burials, and one that's open, which, of course, again, back to
that's interesting. Yeah.
Belief system, you'd say, okay, well, that means you have death for one, two, three, and then it's no longer dead anymore. It's the same principle in the symbolism, because Abraham's wells, it mentions it three times, Abraham's wells are buried.
Yeah.
Isaac's wells buried. Isaac's well, again, is buried. Isaac's well is now not buried. So you have those three sequences, a still count of three, and it's life at the end of it, which is water, of course, which you just mentioned before.
Because water comes down as life. God says, spirit is life. And so he brings his water down, lest it rain. He says, I am like the rain. I'm like the water. I don't know what the state was. Like, if you don't have water for 3 days, you're as good as dead. You know, I don't know exactly how long that thing is, but you can have food, but if you don't have water, you're dead. If I understand that story. So water is a form of life. You know this earth, according to Apostle Paul, that this earth groans and moans, waiting for somebody. They're not waiting for God. They're not waiting for Yeshua. Who are they waiting for? The sons of God to come and to restore it back as it once was. We'll talk about the new heaven, new earth, some other time. And so Abimelech now, verse 26, he come back some years later, and he's actually went to Beersheba. And of course, same captain, same officer, same people. And then Isaac says, why'd you come to see me for? Might say Isaac was getting a little irritated. It's serious. I don't know. Maybe he's friendly. I don't know. But nonetheless, I think it's kind of comical. I got to put some words in here as we read this. By the way, just to let you know, I use Old English, 1611 English, because I've been studying that thing, that language, more than any other English language. So you'll have to endure that with me. As we saw, verse 28, we saw, not that we see, we saw. What did they say? that Yahuwah was with ye while you were in our land. So something has happened to that land, that people's, when Isaac was kicked out. Plain as day. Now, this king is scared. Now, this king is afraid. Like he was afraid with Abraham. Remember why he was afraid with Abraham? Because Abraham went to war and conquered four nations, four empires, wiped them out. They don't exist anymore. That's a pretty powerful army. Well-trained men. And guess what? You think Isaac didn't know what that meant? No, no, he knew what's going on. He says there, let there be now an oath, same thing that he won with his father, Abraham. And this oath is really what's called Shavah. I talked to you what that meant before. And he says it now, so we need to make a covenant between the two of us. You know, that verse 29, I gotta find this funny. I put my words in there, so I just, he says, that thou wilt do us no harm, okay, that you, Isaac, will do us no harm, right, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good. I put this in my parentheses. Well, except taking all the wells and or filling them full of dirt and all that. And then they can show it. And has sent thee away in peace. Really? He was kicked out. We envied you and your wealth and the strength and your army. So they say, right, we've been nice to you, haven't we? It's so funny because verse 27, what are you coming here for? You kicked me out. I find that kind of funny. And they're kind of claiming, we're innocent over here. We haven't done anything bad. Well, they haven't killed him yet, I guess you might say. Well, I don't think they would dare. You know why? Because Isaac had more men than Abimelech had. And Abimelech was smart enough not to go to war. Because, hey, that man's father just conquered or wiped out four nations. Mightier and bigger and stronger than he was. Now, it's kind of funny here. I'll go back to Genesis 21 for just a minute. This has to do with Abraham. Genesis 21, verse 22, starting verse 22. Just a small little thing here. And it came to pass that at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, Elohim is with you in all that you do. Yes, okay. Now therefore, swear unto me by Elohim that you will not deal falsely with me, with my offspring, or with my prosperity, but that according to the kindness that I have done to you, you will do to me and to the land in which you have dwelt. And Abraham says, okay, I'll go along with that one. Then Abraham rebuked Abimelech because of a well of water. Same such matter. Well, interesting, right? Which Abimelech's servants had seized. They didn't bury it, they just took it. Now Abraham says, I do not know. Abimelech says, I did not know this had been done until you told me right now. I didn't know about it until today. Well, you know, Abimelech is not really a complete honest man. We can see that in Abraham's time. We see it very plainly here in Isaac's time. No ands, ifs, or buts. Now, what was that name of that well that Abraham had to deal with? Beersheba. Beersheba. Now, Isaac comes back, and, okay, we'll have a feast, we'll have a drink, we'll get up in the morning, we'll go ahead and we'll make an oath, all right? Then on the same day, Isaac's servants came and said to him concerning the well which they had dug, which they are process of digging. I guess maybe the same well, maybe a different well. I'm not quite sure. I think really it's the well they had to redig. And the reason is because he went back to Beersheba, which his father named that well first. Now that well, something happened to it. One of his father's wells was buried. We have found the water. And he called it Sheba. What is Sheba? It's the oath, meaning that oath. What is the numerical number for Sheba? Seven. I find that when God used these terminologies, now Abraham called it well of seven, and Isaac now calls it the well of seven. It has to do with an oath. By the way, he had to swear this in front of, Abraham had to swear this, and Abimelech had to swear this in front of the name of Elohim. In this case, they had to swear to it in front of the name of Yahuwah or Yahweh, an oath of seven. Then the city was later built around that place. Why we have later in prophecy or writings that we see Beersheba as a city, which is logical, right? There's a great, fantastic well there. When you start building around about it, so yeah, that's the water source. You know? And so that's why every town is built around some kind of water source. Yes.
You say that he swore in front of the Lord. That the oath is now, just going off for a minute to another topic, is, you know, how they're swearing IRS and whatever, but they're not saying, as so help me God, but it's still before God, isn't it?
It's before, or the face of God.
Before the face.
Yeah, we kind of change our English because they don't want to say in the face of God. We don't want to look at God when we wake an oath. We're going to have to swear, in front of him or for him or just by God, I'll do this, you know, whatever. You're doing it in his face. You're still doing it. Yeah. We don't like to think that we do that. Now, the latter part is this last two verses, real simple, right? Esau was 40 years old when he took his wife, Judith. You know what Judith means? A Jewess. Not a Jew, a Jewess. It's a feminine name for Judah. That's it. That name existed before Judah was born. What was given to a woman's name? All it means is the same thing that Judah means and can mean, praise. That's all. And anyway, so he married that one, married another lady. And 35 says, there was a grief in the mind of Isaac and in Rebekah. Now, it says he was 40 years old when he married. How old was Isaac? If Esau was 40, how old is Isaac? If Esau, the son of Isaac, married at the age of 40, how old is Isaac? He was 100 years old. How do you know? I know that. Because Esau and Jacob were born when Isaac was 60 years old. So all this event we're seeing from the time of the birth of the two boys up to this point, but 40 years in the life of Isaac. Now, why 40 years? Why not 32? Why not 17? 40. What does the number 40 mean? This is not about the age of Esau. This is the age of Isaac. Now he's 100 years old. What does 40 have to do with anything? A generation, okay. How long was Moses on the mountain?
40 days.
How long was Moses on the mountain second time? How long was Yeshua in the wilderness?
40 days.
Hmm. Oh, 40, 40, 40. Hmm. What else?
40 days, 40 nights in the ark.
48? Oh, Moses. Yes. in the ark. Yeah, 40 days. Rain, 40 days and 40 nights. 40. Another thing, 40. Why 40?
Probation.
Probation? It's a what? A trial. When the trial is finished, what happens to the person who now has gone through a 40-year cycle? What happens to that person? What happened to Noah? They win. Let me ask you a real quick question, okay? Sometimes we just know the story of Noah, right? Do you think those 40 days and 40 nights was the time for him to have a party and drink and have wine and have wine and life and dance? What was it? A major, major trial. Saw hundreds, perhaps thousands of people die. His own, maybe his, some of his own personal family. Maybe his wife's personal family. Maybe his daughter-in-law's personal family. Maybe even his uncle. Maybe his friends. Maybe the people that helped him build the thing are now dead. Now, when you see them all die, that's not a pleasant thing. Now, 40 days is a long time for a lot of water to come down. Now, the Messiah was for 40 days tested. During this period of 40 days, what kind of test did he go through? Just three. Now, I'm looking at Isaac here, and I'm wondering, I've got six wells. There might have been seven. I don't know. I couldn't figure out exactly what the number was. But those wells have a number and a reason for it. And the lesson that Isaac, or Yahweh would say, God is showing us through Isaac, no matter how bad it is, even if you have the force, the power, and the might to stop your enemy, don't do it without my will.
The three trials that Messiah went through were lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life.
Who else went through that? Adam. Adam went through the very same three. Right? Okay. Same thing. Those numbers are numbered very fascinating for us to know. And this is approximately about maybe, we're close to about 500 years, plus or minus, at the time of the flood. So, that's quite a long time, you know, that many years. But in our lifetime, we think that's a long time. Because I don't live for that long, right? But America hasn't even lived that long yet. America hasn't existed that long yet. Do you know the American history? You know that America does exist, right? So let's talk about one more thing, and then we'll call it quits. How many of you have heard of the Roman Empire? Oh, that was thousands of years ago, right? So you remember those things, don't you? Same thing right here. Those people knew and remembered the flood. They were there. They knew the history. It was very much part of them. Why was God called El Shaddai? Because of the flood. The flood never occurred. He'd never be called El Shaddai.